I'd like to speak to you this morning about servanthood, about who Jesus is, and what he did when he washed his disciples' feet. There are a couple of words that come to my mind when I think about servanthood, and I think about what the scriptures tell us from beginning to end about how important it is that we have a servanthood heart. The first word that comes to my mind is the word attitude, that God cares deeply about our attitude. And our attitude really does direct so much of who we are and how we live and how we live out the Christian faith. If we have an attitude that honors God, then all of these areas of Christian life, God will show us what to do, especially the area of being a servant. If we have the right heart, the right spirit, the right attitude, then God will help us to understand how to live it out. I've always felt that way. I felt like when the attitude's right, when the heart's right, then the questions we have, God will help us to know where balance is and what's right, especially about serving. Philippians chapter 2 says, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Boy, we recognize that as a very high standard. How in the world is our attitude going to be like Jesus? Yet we are called that the way that we look at the world, the way we look at people, the way that we look at our challenges, the way we look at ministry as Christians, as pastors, as lay people, is we're to have the same attitude that Jesus had. Just the prior verses to this one here tells us more about what kind of attitude did Jesus have. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself. So the attitude that God wants us to have is to consider other people better than us. When we look at what people think and how they feel and what they see, we're to hold them up in a with a standard that's higher than how we look at ourselves. And then the next verse says, each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interests of others. God calls us to have eyes that look at the needs of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Attitude is so very important. Attitude is everything, some people say. Your mindset, your worldview, how you look at life. It's to be like Jesus. The second word that comes to my mind is the importance of the word motivation. Why we do what we do as Christians. What motivates us? What's in the furnace? What's in that place within us that causes us to do the things that we do and set our priorities and decide how we serve people, how we serve God? What's on the inside? Colossians chapter 3 is a great thought or text about that. Whatever you do, work heartily. Whatever you believe God wants you to do, give yourself completely to it. Whatever it is that God puts on your heart and in your mind and says, this is what I want for you, give it all you got. As for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance of your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. We are serving Jesus when we serve our world. When we decide how to live out servanthood, we are serving Jesus. Why we serve, who calls us to serve is the motivation for serving. Mother Teresa was an incredible Christian. You probably, all of you know about her life. Many of you have watched documentaries or watched a movie or read a book. I read a book about Mother Teresa a long time ago. It was way back there. Might have been in seminary or somewhere around there. And Mother Teresa is just an incredible person. Her influence and her example literally inspired and touched millions of people. She was incredible. She said a lot of powerful things, I thought. I remember reading some. I looked up some quotes and this is one of them that I really like from of many that I just love from Mother Teresa. If you are humble, nothing will touch you, neither praise nor disgrace, because you know what you are. Because you know what you are. When our attitude is right and our motivation is right about serving God and serving people, it really doesn't matter about the praise of people, and it doesn't matter about the criticism of people. When you know who you are and you are serving Christ, Mother Teresa said, nothing will touch you. And that's so true about servanthood. Jesus said many things about how important it was for his followers to have the right attitude, the right motive about serving. It was a part of his teaching. It was a part of his relationships. It was a part of his training of his disciples. And we see and hear bits and pieces throughout his ministry of how important this idea of serving is, that they get it right, that they have the right attitude, they have the right spirit, they have the right motivation for it. When we listen to the words of Jesus and hear what he says in the context, they're powerful, they're deep. Mark chapter 10, for example, Jesus said, even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. Think about that. This is Jesus. He's the Son of God. He came down from eternity to step into the history of mankind, and he was sinless. He was perfect. He is eternal. But he said, I've not come to be served. I've come to serve. Think about what that means. And then later when he tells us, just as you have seen me do, you do for one another. That same attitude, that same heart, that same spirit. Matthew chapter 20. Jesus was responding to the mother of James and John who came to Jesus and thinking in terms of glory and accomplishment and authority and power and all that. Jesus, could you just grant me this one request? My two sons, could you just kind of allow them to have these high positions in the kingdom of heaven? Jesus said, among other things, it shall not be so among you. It shall not be so among you. That is the opposite. That is so far away from the heart of God, the heart of Jesus about how we see people and how we see ourselves. But whoever would be greatest among you must be your servant. God calls you and me as Christians to have an attitude and a spirit of serving, an attitude of humility. I mean, and when we think about washing the feet of the disciples, that's what Jesus did. One more from Jesus' words before we look at that story. Mark chapter 9 says, and he sat down and called the 12 disciples, and he said to them, if anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all. Think of that. Anybody wants to think you're good, and if anybody wants to think, well, you're doing what you should and you're doing what God wants, then the way to do that is to have this heart that says that I'm last. I'm last. And everybody else is first. What a heavy thing to think about. When Jesus washed his disciples' feet, I imagine there was quite a stirring in the room. I mean, this was not normal. This was not usual. This was not customary. This was not acceptable. The honored person does not wash the dirty, stinking feet of people. That's the role of the slave or the servant. They had to be in shock. They were amazed by it. What's he doing? Picture Jesus kneeling before those disciples and the dirty, dusty day on their feet. And well, for that matter, how about take a moment this morning and imagine with me Jesus now kneeling before you. Those of you that have slipped your shoes off, maybe you can imagine, maybe not. But just try to imagine where you're at today. And here's Jesus, and he comes, and he gets down right in front of you, takes off your shoes, or you take them off. Just imagine what it's like for him to take that ankle and bottom of the foot in his hand and wash it, make it clean. Imagine how those disciples felt. The water running over their feet physically, the washing. All of us have experienced what it's like when your feet are hot and dirty and dusty, and how it feels good to take a shower. For me to get in the pool. Sometimes if for whatever reason I don't have time or something else is going on, I sit on the edge of the tub and just put my feet in. And you know how it's good? It feels so good to turn the water on and just stick your feet there and just let it feel so good. And then take your hand over there, maybe get some soap or rag and just rub them. You know what I mean? How good that feels. Rinse them off, get a towel, dry them off, get up out of the tub, out of the bathroom, and then go sit on the bed and think, oh, that feels so good. Think of Jesus. He knows what we need. Of all the illustrations that Jesus could have given for servanthood, he gives it of washing of the feet. He knows how good it feels. But even then, especially then, he knows how important it was. You know, they had the Last Supper. They were coming in the Last Supper. And for them to come to that meal, they would have had to be ceremonial clean. Assuming they did what they always did as Jews, that meant that they had to wash their hands. And they had these rites they did about cleaning up and all that. But it never involved their feet. That might be why later Peter said, well, wash all of me. And Jesus said, you don't need all wash. You just your feet stink. You know? Because the ceremony of washing for the meal didn't involve the feet. But Jesus saw the complete person, the complete need, and he chooses this picture and example as a beautiful illustration as he kneels down in front of them and he takes their feet, not one, not two, not three, but 24 of them. 24 of them. You imagine how that must have smelled? Pretty bad, isn't it? 24 of them. Recently, I was talking to a young lady who was describing to me a lot of problems she was having. She talked about a lot of bad decisions she had made. I talked to her for a while, and then I said to her, would you like me to pray for you? She got real quiet. Tears started right here. She just kind of looked at me, and finally one word came out of her mouth. Unworthy. I thought, you're so right. How unworthy you are. And how unworthy I am. How unworthy Bob is, and Ashley is, and Scott is, and Emma is, and Jeff is. How unworthy all of us are. She was right. Unworthy. Yet Jesus got down on his knees and he washed the disciples' feet. He came to Peter. I suppose Peter felt that way and some other things too. But he said, you know, there's Peter. Lord, are you going to wash my feet? As if to say, Peter was watching all this and he says, what are you doing, Jesus? What do you think you're doing? Peter knew that he wasn't worthy. Peter knew his, I don't know if he knew his strengths and weaknesses, he had both. But he had to know how unpleasant his feet were. I mean, the washing of feet goes against the kind of our sense of over the line. Is washing the disciples' feet over the line? It kind of goes against a sense of pride, that's for sure. Boy, to let somebody wash our feet, that is a humbling experience. It's a humbling experience to wash feet, too. You know, it's both. It's one thing I love about this story. It goes both ways. It's not pleasant. I think about some things about washing feet. Number one, I mean, this you're going to say, well, this is obvious. It's not a clean job. You know, serving other people is often messy. It's often inconvenient. It often takes things from us that we might want to have for something else. Time. Having a servant's heart is looking at who we are in a way that's different than the world does. I mean, washing feet is dirty. It requires sacrifice. It requires
giving, it requires sometimes putting up with things that are very unpleasant. Yeah, washing feet does that. Serving people does that. Helping people who are hard to help does that. Washing the feet of somebody who really isn't sure whether they want their feet washed or not. I notice here Jesus went to them. All of them. I didn't hear him in this case ask for volunteers. Anybody that wants to get their feet washed, come on up front. I thought about trying that, but that's not going to work. But think about that. What did Jesus do? He went to all of them. Everybody. And he washed their feet. Definitely, it's not very clean. It's definitely not always comfortable either. You know that. It's unpleasant. 24 stinking feet. Men that have been walking all day and dirt and dust and all that stuff. You know, it couldn't have been comfortable for Jesus. It's not always comfortable. Of course, come to think about it, it wasn't comfortable when Jesus went to the cross either. But there's another example of what it meant to be the servant. Number one, it's not very clean. Number two, it's not very comfortable. Number three, feet washing is not always understood by people. Oftentimes, people don't understand why they should wash somebody else's feet. Some people don't understand why you would wash somebody else's feet. They got them dirty, so shouldn't they be responsible for their own feet? Sometimes we feel that way about people. And that part of how we view people can become unbalanced. Now, there's balance in it. But there's also a part of us that can kind of look at people and say, you know what? They got their feet dirty. They wash them. Well, that's how probably the world looks at it. Is that how Jesus looks at it? No. No, he didn't. Not always understood. Sometimes people don't understand and it's because their feet are very dirty and they don't understand what love is and mercy and grace is. Some people can misunderstand because they should be out there washing feet, but instead they're criticizing or examining other people who are. You know? I don't think they should be doing that. It's kind of easier to evaluate other people, maybe sometimes, than just, God, show me. How do I do this? What do I do? Not always understood. I remember reading, too, about Mother Teresa way back there. I don't have any quotes, but just remember reading about it, how criticized Mother Teresa was when she, in the first whatever many years, 10, 12, 15, whatever, I don't know how many it was, but she went through a long time period before she was really ever known of people everywhere criticizing what they heard about what she did in Calcutta, India. I mean, everybody had an opinion. Many people criticized her. Maybe the only people that didn't were the ones who got their feet washed. But there sure was a lot of opinion about others about what she should be doing and what was best to do. Sometimes feet washing is misunderstood. Sometimes feet washing is unsuccessful. Sometimes people just don't really want clean feet. I mean, there are people out there, you can wash their feet and they'll go right out to the mud puddle and step in it when you're done. That happens. Is that why we wash feet? Do we only wash feet of people who are worthy? Everything in balance. Well, there's Peter. What are you doing? My feet? I am reminded that very little is accomplished in the comfort zone. Think about that. If we live by our comfort zones, are we going to accomplish what God wants us to. If we only live by what just seems easy or that doesn't rock my boat, doesn't cause me to think different, doesn't upset my what I'm used to life. You know, like preachers who come into church and they want to change something, and why are we going to do that? You know? How do we decide? Is it our comfort zones that matter? Of course not. We know it's not. But we can fall into that pattern of, if it feels good, if we're used to it, if it's just kind of what we're, it's how we've done it, and but boy, don't turn the basket over. Don't ask me to look at this different. Don't ask me to wash his feet, please. The untouchables. Who did Mother go to? Mother Teresa go? She went to the untouchables. She touched them. She washed a lot of feet. Here's Peter. Opinionated, fickle, passionate, impetuous, all those things we say about Peter. Yet he became the rock. He became the leader of the church. Jesus got him right, didn't he? Jesus must have known. You know, he's got some real problems, and he's going to fall away. But Peter, after this, and you strengthen the brothers. You know, Jesus knew that, so he washed Peter's feet. That made sense. He you know, I assume he washed James's feet and John. John was a beloved disciple. That was probably pretty easy for Jesus. And let's see, there's Bartholomew, and I had to go through all the disciples. You know, he washed them all. Well, I want to tell you something else. He washed Judas's feet too. Think about that for a little bit. He washed Judas's feet. And he knew who Judas was. It was right after he washed his feet. According to the whole narrative, right after he washed Judas's feet, he said there was a betrayer. He knew who he was. Why would he wash Judas's feet? Think about that. What are you doing, Jesus? John chapter 13, verse 14, it tells us he washed their feet, and then he said, "Now that I, your Lord, your teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him." What about you? Would you wash Judas's feet? Are you willing to wash Judas's feet? There's a lot of feet out there in our world. Some may be like Peter's. Some might be like Judas. Can't wash all of them. We know that. We don't have time to wash them all. You can't and I can't. I have to be selective. I have to choose how much time. Have to decide where to put my energy. And all of us must ask God to say, where are the feet that I need to wash? And have that heart and attitude that says, yes, they're unworthy. Yes, they're unworthy. But yes, I'm going to be like my master. I'm going to be like my master, Jesus. Because he showed me. And he calls me to serve. Would you stand, please?